Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be here. Happy Mother's Day to you. Mothers, you are the best. Absolutely. No argument. That's a slam dunk. When the Lord was going to bring forth Messiah, his only son, he picked a woman. And I'm glad, because he picked a man, he never got done. I'll tell you that right now. God is good, he is faithful, and he surprised me as we were worshiping. And I had a vision, very much so, had a vision. And it was odd, and that's why I stopped at that in my tracks. I don't, as you know, I don't give national prophetic words often. And I'm really taken back with part of what I saw, but I'll share with what I can. But it was almost in a second, in a moment, that the Lord showed me. He's going to reign a revival in this country, but man, religious people, we get our respect. You know, we respect buildings, we respect big bank accounts. We often go, God, if you're going to move, you're going to go through that guy, because everybody knows him and he's powerful. And the Lord showed me this army of unknowns. David's haggard bunch. He showed me an army, and he showed me even little hole-in-the-wall churches. And he said, I will not meet man at his pride. I will not. I will manifest my glory. I will reign, but I will not honor man's religious pride. But the things that are unseen and the humble and the lowly in the heart, I will use mightily. Now, I thought that was a powerful thing because he gave me such a definite vision of it, and I saw it so strongly. And that's not really, it's a great word, but isn't it true? Jesus. In our own religious sense, we often think, you know, in fact, I think if you had a visitation of God and you went to a bunch of small hole-in-the-wall assemblies, I actually believe many Christians go, that doesn't make any sense. This ministry is so anointed. And what they wouldn't understand is many times in ministry, sometimes, not always, but what would people do is build a monument to their own ego. You know what I'm saying? They do. They build the significance to their own name. And that's problematic. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now, can you be big and be lowly of heart? Yes, you can. Can you be humble and be successful? Yes, you can. But again, it's just something he laid on my heart. I want you to be encouraged in that. And I want you to also know that oftentimes I hear people say, I say, God wants to use you mightily. And people will say, they'll say automatically, me, but I'm not as good as this person. I'm not special. And I'm not this. And when I hear them talking, I'm realizing you are exactly the vessel that the Lord is seeking out to use. And sometimes their declaration that they tell me about, they're not as good as this guy, and there's so many much more talented people of God. I hear them talk, and it's music to my ears, because I realize how God looks at things. And I want to say this too. If you remember Paul, he was in the Pharisee. He would have also been on the council. Paul was very high ranked. And what does the Lord do when he saves Paul? I mean, to me, Paul's a slam dunk. You get him right on the road to Damascus, he's ready to preach. But he goes to Saudi Arabia for 14 years. Why? The apostles get filled, fishermen, tax collectors, and they're out ministering immediately. Because preconceived pride, religious pride, God does not like to use it. In fact, he can't. He has to hone it down. It's a beautiful thing that God is doing in this nation. Why don't you go to Hebrews 12, where we're going to look at chapter 12, verses 4. But sometimes stuff, I admit to you guys, God begins to speak to your spirit, and it just stops you. It stops me dead in my tracks. It doesn't surprise me that he's speaking. But the Lord makes proclamations. I want to say this. I'll never forget. We were many, many years ago just starting. We always joked that we had like two members that didn't know how to put a pair of shoes on, always coming in barefoot. I didn't know if it was whatever it was. But we're having worship, and like I said, we're just insignificant. You know, I wrestled a lot with being a valid minister because I rated valid ministry with money, a building, you know, all these things. And I was preaching, and I got this, the Spirit of God came down upon me. And the Lord starts saying how he's about to expose, and what has been done in secret sin is going to come out for all to see. And I give this almost, it's a very aggressive word, and God is grieved, and God is upset. And I give this word, and then a month later, Marvin Gorman gets exposed. Jimmy Swagger gets exposed. Jim Baker gets exposed. And I'm thinking, God is crying out in this little living room fellowship. We're trying to get into a building, and he picks this lowly place to give a national word of rebuke to the church. And it's funny, we start to realize, instead of going, you know, I'm really surprised God did that in that lowly setting. That's exactly the setting. That's exactly the kind of people that God uses to speak. That's for all of us today. We need to hear that today. Even though we're going to read in Hebrews, and it's the Lord. Just felt so strong to share that with you this morning. Be encouraged in that. Be encouraged in that. Chapter 12, verse 4. And we're going to talk a bit about the dealings of God. It says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. But what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. And I'm not talking about simply the discipline, the correction of God, because when we discipline our children, we always take that in strictly a negative way. I did something wrong, I'm going to get disciplined. But you, even as you train your kids, this word's a little wider. When you train your kids, brush your teeth, you know what I mean? Go to school, clean your hair up, and all these little things. These are part of our process of training. And really the most important thing is, as a parent, the parent deals with the child. We are a people of the dealings of God. You know, it's interesting. The dealings of God go on, you know, all time, 24 hours, 7. You're under the hands of God. Because God is a perfect Father, an eternal, endless being, his dealings with us will be the entire lifetime. There's only one statement in the scripture when the dealings were done and it was over and the person was going home. That was Paul. What did he say? I finished the fight, I kept the faith. He actually could say, I finished the fight. Another statement Paul makes, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God. And a lot of these, in a way, are finishing statements that God had dealt with Paul. And as God dealt with Paul, it gave Paul the ability to deal with others. There's an old saying, God cannot do through you what he cannot do to you. In our lives as Christians, too many times we get better at passing information, but we need the dealings of God and we should welcome them in any form and fashion. And he talks about the discipline, but also being reproved, because the being reproved is being rebuked, it's being corrected. But discipline, part of the training, God's going to have the dealings in your life. And it's funny, how does he do it? See, oftentimes we have taught Christians, if you would come to the church, we'll deal with you and you'll become a better Christian. Well, we are equippers and we do teach the word, and I'm teaching you this morning. But the dealings of God, really just, they're like 7 days a week going on. Your life is the absolute soil of God's dealings. And there isn't a situation that you go through, there isn't a thing that happens that is not, that God wants to deal with you through it, and he wants to show you and he wants to teach you. I believe we want to see God work in power. I really do. I believe we want to see him work in power in this earth. Many Christians want to truly see the hand of God unleashed, you know, unhindered. And they want to see God work in the church. They want to see him work in the world. We want to see miracles, which is good and needed. But sometimes what we pray, in a sense, and hear me out on this, because sometimes I'll make a statement and you go, well, what are you talking about? We ask God really to fill our place of worship, our group, our club, so we can see him work. But what we're really doing those times, in a sense, we're asking God to fill brick and stone. We really are. To fill a place. So that place could be powerful. But here's the problem with that. That's not a scriptural model at all. Period. Sometimes we're saying, God, make this church powerful. And we're kind of seeing God come in the room and the glory of God and the power of God. And as he comes in the room, the church becomes powerful. But the model of God, the true model of God, you know, instead of us saying, you know, would you fill wood, brick, and stone edifice so it could be powerful? What God actually does is he takes us as individuals and he shakes you and he deals with you and he empowers you, and then the effect of your empowerment, you will minister to others. The early church, the Christians were shaken. They were filled. even the individual Christians. So the thought of God filling a building, because they didn't have grand buildings. They were in living rooms, going house to house, having secret church services. So they didn't have that sheer large number of a church that has 100 or 500 or 1,000. They had living rooms with a few people sitting in them. That was the church changing the world. That paradigm, in a real subtle way, has been shifted through the last two millennia to where we've asked God to fill brick and stone. Now, none of this message I'm saying is putting down brick and stone. Buildings can be a really good thing if we understand what truly God is doing to fill it. He's shaking the individuals. He's filling them with the Holy Spirit. And this is really critical. And even just the word I gave, and again, even as the Lord had spoke to me this morning, I wasn't even connecting the two when I just gave you that word. He uses the lowly, the humble. He's not going to respect the Christian community's sense of pride. He's not going to really respect their grandiose buildings, their multi-million dollar buildings. Yeah, if they have multi-million dollar buildings and the people inside are shaken, then praise God. But what God actually does is He shakes you. He deals with you. He shakes your being. I'm not going to ask God to do through me something He can't do to me, because it actually defies logic. It doesn't make sense. God, visit this place. Well, that means, okay, visit this people. Shake this people. This is not only the whole secret to success. This is really what God, but in a lot of ways, and I've seen people do this, and I've never seen one of you guys do this, but I've heard this in the Christian community. Well, I'm not happy there. And many times we're blaming bricks and stones for a personal hollowness. Many times we practice a form of Christian osmosis, where people will be lacking in their own spirit. They'll be lacking in their own walk. They will project it onto a church like the church is failing. They will project it onto a group of people or a certain pastor. And many times we need to be shaken. We need to be shaken. I'm actually very, very conservative when it comes to blaming anybody. Because what I want to see happen around me, I need to see happen in me. And this is a beautiful challenge, guys. And so much of what Matt has said and you guys teach is right on the target with that too. Because we got to get into our prayer closets, and I believe there has been an increase, because the one thing is, for a pastor, you got to understand, a pastor, when you're shepherding, I don't care if it's a large church, small church, I'm not going to call it like the eagle eye, but you're observing everything far more than people realize. You're watching your sheep all the time. I mean, it's. I'm not trying to make it spooky, but God gives you an eagle eye. Not an eagle eye to harass or to hinder or make calls and say, you know, I just saw this in my spirit, what is wrong with you? But rather an eagle eye, because you're watching. And I've learned often through the years, we as Christians, even as pastors, we use growth markers that aren't growth at all. We use success markers that aren't successful at all. Sometimes we're so backwards with what we think makes a good church. It's like, you know, it's interesting. Jesus takes men and He trains them for 3.5 years. He loses one to betrayal, keeps 11. They change the world. And then He calls an apostle after his death called Paul, and they all change the world. But it's really important when we start saying, God, what you're going to want to do through me, you're going to have to do to me. You really are. This includes, though, the mistakes, the repentance, the restoration in your life. This includes the valleys, the down times, because God is dealing with you. And I want to say this. God's dealings with you, though, in a way are optional. Because as you're walking in your life, your steps are ordained by the Lord. As you're living out your life, trust me, God is managing your life. As you head into things, whether they be good news, bad news, these are dealings. I go through a valley to where I don't see some kind of provision, and that's a dealing right there. I could speak in faith, I could speak in doubt, I can miss the whole dealing. It's meant to build my faith. Do I bemoan it? Do I cry? Do I whine? These are the dealings of God, and when we come through these dealings, we say, God is faithful, but this is the other part. The many disciplines and the dealings of God, I can opt out. I've told the story many times how I didn't like trials. My view of Christianity was, if you're in Jesus, you have a victory, and you always have a victory until God said you can't have a victory unless you fight. You can't be a conqueror unless you conquer. And so many times I wanted, like almost like I said, we're confused with Harry Potter and X-Men when it comes to the model of really what God does, and He works in you. He works in me. And there are experiences. In fact, many times if you're in a situation right now and you are frustrated and you wish it would be a little different, I'm going to tell you right now, it is so important to get a hold of the dealings of God in that situation. Say, Father, this bothers me. Father, this tires me out. Father, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And many times you have to say, wait a minute. You got to put on the brakes and say, what are your dealings here, God? What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm telling you, when you ask, He will show you. He may not do it the first time you pray, but He may do it the third or the fifth or the sixth time you ask Him, or whatever it takes. But there's all these situations that you're running into, that there's dealings of God within the situations, and they are so intended to transform you. They are so intended to take the old you out and to put the new you in. But this is really important as we understand it. And I think, take not lightly. Why? Well, I got to tell you, I've taken the discipline of God lightly many times. Many times. I've went through situations and seasons and times where I mourned. That's all I did. I just mourned. I was sad. What I saw was painful. I reacted that way. And what I was doing, and we do wrestle with this, many times God's like, there's dealings of me in here if you listen. You just want this to be gone. But I want to deal with you through it. I want to do to you. Then I'll be able to do through you. In this particular area, be a great anointing and a great strength. There isn't a time where you feel the pressing against your being. And you're living in this world as a Christian. And there is something that goes on that God doesn't want to put an anointing and a glory upon that actual place. But you can take it lightly. You can miss it. I'll never forget something horrible happened. And I walked up to a person. And they said the most amazing thing to me. And I'm not insulting them. And you don't know them. So just so your minds don't wander. And they know me because I believe in the dealings of God. And they said, Mike, don't give me. There is nothing good about this. Nothing redemptive. This is not right. This is not good. That's what they said. And I thought, there you go. What an amazing statement. And I was in a funeral parlor. And one of my family members was dead. But that was what they said. Nothing redemptive. Nothing good about this. This is horrible. Horrible, they said. Horrible. I thought, hello to you too. I haven't seen you in, I don't know, a couple of years, and it's the first thing you say to me. How horrible this is, and there's nothing good and nothing God. How stupid can we possibly be, not to be insulting, how ignorant of the mind to believe God is that small where there isn't some plan of God working out. How ignorant. How unbelievably ignorant. And when a person speaks like that, obviously I know you have no clue about the dealings of God in your life. Therefore, you're undisciplined. And you may even be illegitimate. You call yourself a Christian, but that's a sign of illegitimacy. That's why he says, if you're not disciplined by your father, you are illegitimate. Meaning you don't have a father. At least not in heaven. That's a heavy thing. A lot of people wouldn't preach it because it's unpopular. But the writer in Hebrews is trying to tell them, guys, don't regard lightly the discipline. Discipline and you understanding the dealings is part of what being a son and daughter of God is all about. You walking past Him, you may be a son and daughter, but you may be an ignorant son and daughter because the less you see God's dealings in whatever you're going through and you just think it's a mistake, something's wrong, you're not growing. Think about this for a minute. But I know the one thing that, you know, it's interesting. I was given a bumper sticker once by Matt, and I loved it. I put it on my guitar case, and Leonard Ravenhill said, no man will exceed his prayer life.
No man is greater than his prayer
life. No man is greater than his prayer life. And I could just see a lot of Christians going, sounds pretty legalistic to me. But it's not about legalism at all. But I want you to be blessed because I want you to start hitting stuff in your life and realize God is dealing and He may want to speak to you on it. He may want to show you something. Sometimes He will need to reprove you through it. But whatever the case is, He wants to teach you because He wants to do through you what He can do to you. He wants you to become the object of His many dealings and disciplines. And He wants that object to become, He wants to put a power and a glory. But again, you know, I think about it. What is a more hopeless thing than to believe that God is not in the stuff that's going on? Is that not scary to have life events and go, God's not involved? Now, people immediately go, wait a minute, somebody sinned. And you're going to tell me that God was in them sinning. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm going to tell you, you as a believer, you may suffer because of somebody's sin. But you are God's. And God will deal with you through that. And God will put things in you through that. And God will strengthen you through that. But it's interesting because, again, so many times the church in America really bears out the reality of the people that are in it. It doesn't. the buildings don't mean anything. You know, it's interesting. We often say, we have an advantage because we have this big building. No, you don't. You have an advantage because you're sons and daughters of God. You have an advantage because the heavens should be open over your life. You have an advantage because of who you are. The brick and stone may house it, and they may be the place where that anointed church meets, but we're talking an anointed people. Too many times people look at real estate and they actually think there's some kind of divine advantage. And it, not only is there not an advantage, but the church that turned the world upside down had a living room. Now, you say, are you saying what I want to be? You want to be in a... Are you saying that churches need to be in a living room? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But it's not simply the chicken or the egg. It's a very vital thing that we understand. Even as you get into bigger buildings, it's important to understand this because you understand what actually makes things work versus what doesn't make things work. I want you to go to Acts 2:1, and I'm going to look at a different angle of this. This is not a sermon about speaking in tongues, although I love hearing the encouragement of it as we were worshiping in the Spirit or before church we were praying. That was absolutely... But there's something, and I put down 2:1-4, and we know the day of Pentecost. Basically, that is the birthing of the church. When the Spirit of God comes in the church is animated, comes alive. Now we have the church. In fact, we've said this before, haven't we? The sign of the Christian is the presence of God. The sign of the church is the presence of God. If you go to Revelations, remember the lampstands? They were each representing a church. They had a lampstand, meaning God's presence. In one church, he threatened, I will take your lampstand away. Do you know what happens when a lampstand is taken from a church? It's no longer a church. I don't care what the cross on it. I don't care what the name. I don't care if they have the legal papers. They're a religious non-for-profit organization. It doesn't matter. If the Lord takes the lampstand, the presence is gone. It's no longer a church. Now it is a religious institution, void of God's presence, void of God, translation. But I look at it, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled. The Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from under every nation in heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Now, the interesting thing is, you know, I look at about God shaking your being and resting. And sometimes I say, Holy Spirit, I know it says not to grieve you. I want to be the Christian that you rest within. I don't want to be in conflict. Like Ephesians says, don't grieve the Spirit. And I think about some of this, okay? I think about some of this, and I think about the Spirit of God resting on them. And I looked at something even in verse 21, where Peter is explaining and preaching his first anointed sermon. And he says, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you look at what he says before it, verse 17, it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on, I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what's interesting, and this is kind of a reason I went there. God comes to these men and he says, Jesus even more or less, he says, wait for the promise. Don't go minister yet until the promise. These men get filled with the Spirit. But when it talks about everyone calling on the name of the Lord who shall be saved, look at the description of the people of God that are doing this job. They're prophesying. The Spirit of God is upon them. This is a powerful thing. But again, it just goes back to God wants to deal with you in all kinds of areas. The Lord wants to move in you. Another word that God gave me is he said a few years ago, and one thing I learned, when the Lord says soon, it's not like if I say I'll be over Barbara soon. You may not want to put the light on for that one, because sometimes it's not a relative term. I've had the Lord promise me something very specific, something that I could have never brought about. And I'll never forget, it was 24 years later that it happened. And I went, oh my Lord, 24 years. You told me soon, 24 years ago. And it dawned on me at that moment. I'm like, Lord, when you're speaking to us and you say something to me, I'm actually looking out the front door waiting. But that's not how you work. That's not how you work, God. There may be something that comes tomorrow. You spoke it today. There may be something that comes 24 years later. Because again, so many of the things God speaks to you, he speaks to a different you. There are things God says, I'm going to do in you, but there is a growth that is going to take place in you. And when he shows you, him using you, I've seen people say, I had a vision, and I was doing this. And a few years went by, and they went, you know, God failed me. That never happened. And I'm thinking, the vision you had was probably a you 10 years in the future to 20 years in the future. Mm-hmm. Because you're not growing up. And for some reason, when you heard that word, it was the Lord. And it gave you faith and hope. And 2 years went by, and you determined God wasn't in it. And you're not even the man that actually he can, in that way, manifest that at this point. You're not there. Desire is great. And the desire to be used by God is great. But the important thing is, whenever God calls you to something, he's going to start dealing with you. And he's going to deal with you. He's going to speak to you. His presence is going to move on you. And beautiful things are going to happen. But I see the promise, you know, all who call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is this church that Peter's even describing. And it's a powerful thing because this, again, is God shaking. How many? 120. He shook them. They went out from that place. They had a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Then they went out and ministered. But even if you look at this pattern of God shaking you so he can do through you what he can do to you, and you look at this, and immediately upon being filled, close to, a persecution rises against the church, and they're scattered in four directions. But the four directions are the scattering that Jesus was ordaining for them to go. So the government actually legally persecutes the church. And when Jesus spoke of how they will go witnessing, it was the persecution that brought about the will of God. Now think about this for a minute. Many times we're saying, defeat the enemy so he can't stop this God. And it's funny because John Calvin many years ago called the devil God's devil. Because he said if you looked in the scripture, he was used more in the success of God's plans versus stopping them. And as hard as he went and tried, and the devil has a great wrath, because what's it say? He knows his time's limited. This is really critical. But again, oftentimes in our doctrine, the doctrine of man gets in. Man, you know, he tailors truths and we want to hear it pleasant. You know, I heard a preacher and he was talking and he said, I've worked at a church on staff. And they told me, never mention sin, hell, or judgment, ever. You don't preach that off this pulpit. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, I'm not always a hellfire and brimstone guy, but if you gave that and you hired me and said those three things, that would be the shortest employment I ever had at a church, I guarantee it. And it's not that I want to run out my first sermon and tell everybody they're going to burn in hell, but to actually say that tells me a lot about the church. And the funny thing, it also tells me about the lack of dealings they're going to have from God. I want to tell you something. A lot of the puffy doctrine we see, a lot of the, you know, user-friendly stuff, do you realize that the enemy is doing something interesting through the light? I call it the Christian light, like Bud Light message. He is actually causing the people of God to not have the amount of dealings of God that they're supposed to have. And the enemy knows what God's not going to do through you, what he can't do to you. He knows that. So you're going to have Christians at 20%, 30%, 40%, and that's it. Their effectiveness is going to be so low because God really needs to deal with them. And again, not mistaking superhero movies with some power off a strange comet rock that falls and you can do these things. Listen, it makes for a great movie, but it makes for horrible theology. And I love some of those movies. I love the Avengers. I get a kick out of it, but I know for certain my theology is not confused with my movie watching. This is really critical for us. Now, here's a word of encouragement. All of us in this sanctuary have had many dealings of God. And we've all had our faith tried. We've all had it tested. We have felt pressure. Many here have suffered sometimes persecution for doing the right thing. But I want to tell you something. The dealings of God were in every one of those events. They really were. God was working in you. God is working in you right now. God is working in me. And we got to say, Lord, I don't want to miss a dealing of yours. When you're dealing, and you're always dealing with my life, and let me come out of each and every incident knowing that you did something through that, because my life is yours. It is ordained by you. Think about this for a second. It's a powerful thing. Now again, somebody would hear me say these things and they'd say, well, you know, I you're anti this or you're anti building. No, not at all. When I go into a bigger building, I want to walk into a bigger building, know whether it's the chicken or the egg first, theologically speaking. I want to know what I'm counting on for power. You say, is that really that important? It's super important, because I got to tell you something. Well, what a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And when Christians get filled with certain kind of thoughts and ideas, it dictates how they walk, how they think. It dictates what they think will bring them success versus failure. And I want to encourage you today. And something the Lord told me some years ago, he said he was going to pour out a spirit in a real unique way. But he told me something else. He said, I will use people in their 80s, even their 90s. I'll raise them up way later in life. Now, normally we kind of go, you know, I'm older. I don't move as good. You know, and I get all that. You know, there's arthritis. There's interesting things. But I want to say, God absolutely can pour his spirit upon you and use you in whatever capacity, because he'll give you the strength in whatever capacity he calls you. And I thought about this. Lord, taking both the young and the old, utilizing them in ministry. In the time where people go, I'm just going to collect seashells, they're, you know, the fire of God's fallen, something powerful is happening. Very critical. You know, it's interesting. When I gave that word, it was many years ago, and the evangelistic community was absolutely wrecked by scandal after scandal. And you could tell there was an exposure coming from heaven, meaning the harder they were trying to hide it, the bigger it was getting. But God was loving his people at that moment. But I think about how it's crying out through this little itty-bitty teeny fellowship just starting, very uncertain. And you know, bearing the heart of God. But then I thought about it. How many mega churches would you have actually heard that word in? Because I talked around and people looked at me weird. Because the word was so powerful when it came to me. It shook my being. God's heart was so broken. And I talked to people and, you know. In fact, I was in a church meeting with pastors from a region in Frankfurt. And I was talking a little bit about something like that, and the pastor goes, oh, we don't do that here. I said, do what? He said, that, what you're doing. You don't think, you don't speak for God. We don't speak that way. Okay. It's funny, heaven was crying out, and God was working in that area, but that's fine. It doesn't fit into your little box, then that's good. Good for you. And you will miss a whole lot. Now, I say this to give you courage, too, because, again, we often go, you know, and it's interesting. Because every time God raises up a humble servant, then people get a hold of that servant and tell him, you need more, and you need a bigger building, and you need more money, you know, and you get these people that are just out there doing it, and all of a sudden they're caught up in a fundraising campaign every year. Very tragic, isn't it? Because in our minds, we go, bigger is better, and if God's using you this way, you know, and we immediately jump on a wagon. It's really interesting. Now again, bigger doesn't have to be bad, but it's something to think about. I want to read one more scripture in Ephesians. I want to go to Ephesians, and I want you to go to 5. There's some I was thinking about, some of these things that God wants to do in you. Chapter 5, verse 18, and we're going to... I thought about this, 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Actually, 17 says, so then... Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. You know, we sing, like this morning, lead worship. I love worship. Somebody asked me, what's your favorite thing? I said, it's worship. But I look at this, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, and the need for the cross-pollination when the Spirit of God moves upon you and your ability to sing to one another. And I'm like, that rarely happens. You know, I had an experience with a brother singing a psalm, playing a guitar with a strap on. And I was busy preparing for a sermon in my office. And he kind of came cruising through the office singing in the Spirit. He began to sing to me. I didn't realize it. Actually, I thought he was being obnoxious and I was trying to focus. And I was really wanting him to leave my office. And as he was doing it and he was singing to one another in psalms and hymns. The Spirit of God hit me. I felt like somebody dropped a vat of warm oil from my head to my toes. I was almost paralyzed. I couldn't move. It was an amazing feeling. I've got to tell you, that was an amazing feeling. I had a release from every pressure I ever felt. It's like any anxiety I ever had was gone, and it embarrassed me. And he knew it embarrassed me because he knew I was stiff-necked, and he knew that I really needed God to deal with me. So I actually saw what it's like when somebody sings the psalm and a hymn to you, and how the power of God used that and came down upon me and absolutely changed the game again and again. You know, it's interesting, and I've said this in the Greek and Ephesians, it doesn't say be filled, it actually, the grammar tense is be refilled. And so when I talk to people in foreign lands, sometimes I go, hey, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit? And an average Asian will go, I've been baptized 5 times. Because they've had the Spirit of God fall on them and fresh again and again and again. You know, we're kind of like in the insurance program. You get saved, here's the contract that God can't void it. Also, you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was 10 years ago. That's good right now, you know. And again, we do this stuff that's amazing. You know, I think about it, the need for the dealings of God, the need for the Spirit of God anointing and baptizing us again. And even today, I want to encourage you in that, because there's something so strong that God wants you to be a person with many dealings. But as we're closing, I want you to think, what is the situation? Each of us have something. You may have dealings with your family. You may have dealings with career. You may have dealings just with living. You may have dealings that God's dealing with you. And there are situations, he's not away from them, and he wants his dealings to be in you through everything you deal. And the outcome will be more of him. The outcome will absolutely. Also, there's a channel that opens up in our spirit when we allow the dealing of God. Because this is the only problem. We can miss the dealing of God. We can resist the dealing of God. We can ignore him when he tries to reprove us. We can be a person that God can't do much to us. And therefore, he can't do much through us. The one mistake I've often seen Christians make, and I see Christians, and I'll close with this, years later, like reacting in a way to a situation that's not Jesus at all. And I was surprised, but I realized something as I went along, because God was also dealing with me in my disappointment. I realized they were so used to reading the right verses that the very dealings that God was bringing to their life, they never even realized that. They weren't dealt with much. And let me put one more term. They weren't broken. I've met men of God that were many years in Christ, but as you talked, you could see very clearly. Because one of the final statements is, as the dealings of God move in your life and he deals with you, he also breaks you. If you're not broken, you're not good for much. But the mistake we've made is we read the right information. You know, we accumulate the right facts. But you know, I can accumulate facts for 20 years. I've read a whole library. I really have. But that doesn't mean I will be broken or one who's had the many dealings of God. And sometimes I realized when I saw that in veteran Christians, I went, they've not been broken. You can tell in their spirit, they've not been broken. God wants to break them. They're 20 years in. They could preach. They could teach. They're ministers. They're not broken at all. And this is a thought for all of us because, you know, it's the people with the dealings of God and the breakings of God that will be used by God the most powerful. Trust me. And you look at the Apostle Paul, talk about being broken by God. Oh, my Lord. Blind for how many days? Saudi Arabia for 14 years. God had to break that man. So it wasn't a quick process. It was a really long process. But look what occurred when the dealings of God were plentiful. Look what occurred when he came back from Saudi. Amazing. Amazing. The man he was. Let's all rise and pray. Father, even today as we go, again, thank you, God. Mothers, it's great to acknowledge mothers. So, Lord, we wish a happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We ask this today that there are many dealings that you wish to deal with us. There are many situations, Lord, that I've just shook my head and said, I don't like this. I've had so many things where the dealings of God were plentiful in an area and we just walked past it. Father, ultimately, you're breaking us. Me and my brother John have read and talked on this much, and it's a powerful, it's not a concept, it's a truth. It's a biblical truth. I pray as we go here today, Lord, that we would not lose heart, that we would, even as the song says, take courage. It's in the waiting. It's so fitting, even with what I was talking about. God, you are reaching, you are dealing with us with loving arms of a father. Beyond, we have never known the love of a father like you love us with, God. Our earthly fathers were, you know, they great. They loved us. They went to work. And my father was one of the hardest working men I've ever seen. But when we talk about our Heavenly Father, the dealings are so profound. And we just pray, God, that we would understand we're safe. We're in your arms and you're dealing with us. Lord, there are areas you're working and you're doing to us because you want to purposely do through us. There are things we experience where we would never volunteer for it, but that's the point. But as a good father, you bring it and then you're going to deal with us right in the midst of it. Lord, your dealings in the midst of storms and the challenge of faith are some of the more profound in the midst of pain. But when the dealings are completed in that area, you raise up your people. Lord, I hear testimonies about men of God that suffer tragedy that it almost bends your mind. But as I watch them speak and I see the dealings of God in their life and the power that comes through them, I realize they've been broken. They have been broken. Lord, we've all had a Saudi 14 years. Maybe it's more, maybe less. Maybe we need it more sometimes. I pray a blessing so that the dealings of God would be plentiful in us, God. So that the works of God would be plentiful in us. So that we can go forth and we can work for you in power. Lord, I say amen to the things you spoke to me. You rarely stopped me in my tracks the way you did today. But you have something to say, and it is absolutely, you're right, and it is absolutely should be top priority. Speak to this nation. Echo through your mouthpieces. Speak all over. You want to reign, and you want to do something amazing, and you will not fail. Lord, the question that you've always posed to your people isn't, I can't move if you don't listen, is just, will you be a part of me moving? That's really the question. You will not be stopped. No one or no force in heaven or hell can stop you. Thank you that you love us enough to deal with us and to reprove us and to chastise us. We're blessed beyond measure because it's almost unspeakable that I can call you Father and even more amazing that you call me Son. That goes beyond the scope of human imagination. Bring us deep in this season, God. This is David's haggard bunch. This is the assembly of God. This is the people of God whom you've chosen, who you've ordained to use. I thank you for that. Little spirit of encouragement. You've got it in hand. You've got it in hand. You need to say that sometimes. God, you've got this in hand. You know what you're doing. You can rage against the facts by speaking the truth. You've got this, God. Be careful. Let your declaration be truth, not circumstances. Do not let circumstance be your declaration. Let the truth of God, He is here. He is working. He has seen your faithfulness. He will not let you down. He is a perfect Father. I pray even now, too, for people as they get sometimes injured, sometimes attacked, sometimes for a lot of different things. Strengthen those hearts now.
Yes.
Strengthen those hearts in the name of Jesus. Strengthen those lives in the name of Jesus today. Do a work as we go here. And in every situation we will hit, help us to go, Lord, I want your dealings through this situation. I don't want to walk in my flesh. I don't want to walk carnal. I want your dealings. You got dealings here, Lord. I know that. It says you've enclosed me before and behind. There is nothing going on in my life that is random. There is nothing going on in my life that you didn't see coming. In fact, that you allowed. There's no surprises. Let us walk in that faith. We know the enemy will challenge. We know the enemy will come. We know the enemy will rant and rave against the promise of God because that's what he does. He's a liar. But we will stand strong today. Lord, my final prayer is that these moms would be, you know, spoiled today. Absolutely. And there'd be great, whatever get-togethers, whoever's going to lunch, let it be a full time. Lord, people need to know they're deeply appreciated for all they do. People need to know that. So thank you for Mothers today, God, even as we dismiss, your blessing upon us in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Blessings, everyone. Amen.